failure is your trampoline to success. If you're not failing, you're not growing. And if you're not, you know, if you're not failing, you're not learning. So the ability to fail and allow that to maybe take you a step backwards, but bounce off the trampoline 6 steps forward because of everything you learned, and you can pivot and take your company to a different direction, is so important. So I always say, you know, don't fear failure, actually embrace it. It's not failing, it's learning.
Hi, I'm Morris Sims, and I'm the host of the Business of Sales podcast and the Travel Masters Learning Community podcast. I've been working with business owners and professional salespeople, and now specifically with travel professionals, to help them improve and grow their businesses. After 32 years in corporate life, that was it. I couldn't handle it. I retired and just started my own business. I got to tell you, I have never had this much fun in my entire life. So thanks for joining us today. Let's get this party started and help you get whatever it is that you want from your business. Rich Moyer is our guest today. And I got to tell you, I love Rich's company. It is just, it's an amazing thing. And I'm going to ask him to share with us how that came about. But just please welcome Rich Moyer to the show today. Rich, so glad you're here with Hoppin' Brands, the CEO and founder of Hoppin' Brands. Rich, thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about Hoppin' Brands and how you got to found this company.
Yeah, thank you. So I started Hoppin' in 2017, but prior to that, I owned my first company at the age of 26, and I sold that for just 2 months into my fourth year of business. And in the process of selling that, a friend of mine at the time saw this self-serve technology, and he asked if I wanted to open up a bar. And I quickly hung up the phone and said, absolutely not. I don't want anything to do with a bar. And then he sent me a video of the technology, and I said, wow, well, this kind of changes the game, right? Because the technology eliminated 95% of a bar owner's headaches or a restaurant owner's headaches. And I was in the process, again, selling my first company, and the timing worked out where I was like, let me look at some other investments. And I invested a ton of money into commercial real estate. And then I was like, you know what, Hoppin' could be something that Charlotte has never seen, and it's different. And the worries and concerns I had about opening a bar are pretty much eliminated with a technology piece and your customer kind of being their own bartender instead of having bartenders giving things away. So that's how, in a short bit, that's how it came to an idea. And then I quickly made it into a business. That was in February of 2017. We found the property, and we opened up late November. Our grand opening was early December of 2017.
And we got to explain what the technology is. I come in and I can pour my own drinks, right? Tell us how that works real quick.
Yeah, simple. When you check in, you get a wristband. The wristband's attached to your credit card. So our staff will check your ID, make sure you're legal age. They'll swipe your debit or credit card, open up a tab. They'll hand you your credit card back with a wristband. It's an RFID wristband that basically connects to your credit card. So every tenth of an ounce that you pour on our system, 60 plus self-serve taps of beer, wine, cocktail, cider, et cetera, is all back onto your tab. And it gives our customers the ability to go in and try, you know, a tenth of an ounce or an ounce of something mm-hmm. that maybe they wouldn't normally try, or yeah. pour up to a full glass. So technology piece is very cool. It's innovative, and it's something completely different. We also have full cocktail bars at most of our locations.
I've got so many questions. Yeah. I've got so many questions, Rich, but the one that's burning in my head right now is, how do you keep it from going bad? I mean, I used to be a wine drinker, and red wine after a while oxidizes and tastes not good. How do you keep it fresh?
Yeah, so our kegs are stayed fresh because, you know, we'll run through pretty much every single tap within a week or less.
Oh, okay.
So we run through the kegs very quickly, and the ability for customers to pour their own stuff. I think one of the biggest questions we get is how do you keep them from over-serving themselves? So there's legal limitations that we're allowed to give them on their wristband, basically two drinks per per sitting per se. And those wristbands have two drinks on them, but the tab is a wide open tab, no different than if you were to go to a bartender. They can legally serve you two drinks at a time. You can go sit down, go back up and get another two drinks. So the control is actually more controlled with our self-serve because it's a one-on-one experience. Hey, my wristband ran out. Our staff has a one-on-one conversation with you instead of a busy bartender that has 20 or 30 people deep at their bar. Yeah. They don't know if you're intoxicated or not. They just might serve you another drink.
Well, I used to very much enjoy red wine. In fact, I enjoyed it so much that they finally said, you have to stop or your liver is going to run away. So I had to quit because I was past that point of being an alcoholic, and you know, you just keep going. You don't ever, at some point in time that switch gets flipped and there's never enough. You just keep going until you
fall asleep or the bottle, until there's no bottles left.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's crazy. I never used to do that, but there was that point in my life where that switch got flipped. And from that point forward, I couldn't put it down. Once I started, I was going to keep going until I wasn't there anymore. So anyhow, went to Reno and saw this kind of technology with wine where they had the bottles, the actual bottles, you know, and you'd get a card like a wristband and you could go and use your card, as much money as you put on your card, you could keep drinking wine. Well, I just got the biggest kick out of that. And we used it as an event as a corporate event at the time. And it was just, everybody loved it. So I can see where this technology is inviting and exciting and new and different. And I bet you guys are filling the place up pretty regularly, huh?
Yeah. Our location in Charlotte is our original location. And it definitely pumps some people through the doors, which is great to see.
Yeah, man, it looks like and sounds like it's wonderful. Do you also have a kitchen? Do you serve food?
So we actually have food component, but we don't serve food ourselves. We do not have a kitchen. And one thing that I always said that if I was to open up a bar, I would never do food. And that's because I grew up with two parents that were in the restaurant industry their whole lives. And it's a 24/7 game.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the overhead, the turnover on kitchen staff, trying to find good help. The food waste and then the margins on food are very minimal. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we partner with local food operators, whether it be a food truck or a neighboring restaurant, and they provide the food for us. And we take a percentage of their revenue, whatever their top line revenue is, we take a percentage of that. So overall, it's a win-win situation. We partner with somebody that's really, really good at what they do and making food, and we provide the good vibes, the experience, and something completely different in the bar industry.
That's wonderful. And that's attracting people to come and eat their food. That's wonderful. That is fantastic. Well, let's talk about running a business like this, Rich, for a minute. I mean, we're all business owners for at some level around the thing there. So how do you handle you franchise this thing now. So you've got the local business to run plus a franchise operation to run. How do you get it all done, brother? What do you do to manage your own time?
Yeah, my time, it's a very high level now. When I had my first company, I was the guy for everything. It was 18-hour days, long nights, early mornings. So this company I built to be able to give ownership in the positions of people that I was hiring, not necessarily equity in the company, but ownership in their position that they take full responsibility and ownership in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I've been very fortunate to create a great culture from the top level and be able to instill in my staff and my leadership team that, you know, this is your position, this is your location, or you're the lead in this, whatever this department is. And I work for them, they don't work for me. I've always flipped the triangle upside down that the CEO is at the bottom. The most important people are the frontline people, and then it falls down to leadership, et cetera. And all my staff knowing that I have an open door policy and they can reach out to me, whether if it's business related, personal related, life relationship, knowing that I work for them and they don't work for me is a culture. It's a way to flip the culture and make it into a very good culture driven company. So same thing for our franchisees. My number is always wide open for them as well. So my time is very high level. It's the vision of the company, the structuring of the franchising side is very, very intriguing and different. So learning that has been fun for me, but also challenging in a way that you know, I've had to lean on people that are, have been through it. Fractional CMO, mm-hmm. been in it for a year, 20 plus years. Some other franchisors that I'm fortunate enough to have locally to lean on and ask questions. But overall, my day-to-day is more focused on making sure the infrastructure of the company, the foundation of the company and the franchising world is where it needs to be. And then a development side to make sure our development team is bringing in leads so we're always closing deals and opening up new locations.
No, that makes perfect sense. That's the way it ought to be. And so what you're doing is you're building relationships, and those relationships are where people begin to gain that ownership and into the operation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my dad's always told me since I was young, people do business with people they like. I tell my staff, you know, there's a lot of my staff that they're very, very good at what they do. We're a growing emerging company, so they probably make less with me than what they could potentially with another bigger company. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I instill in them and they believe in the vision and where the company's going and what our goals are, and they have the same goal. So overall, it's a relationship between us and them, and it's more than just a job to them. And I think that's important. And it takes a lot off of my plate to be able to focus on bigger picture items while they focus on the day to day, which gives me some freedom, which is what any entrepreneur wants, and also gives them ownership again in their position to feel like they have pride in something.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. It really does. How do you go about training your staff? What do you do to develop them as business people themselves? The they're in your Charlotte location and with your franchisees. How do you train them?
Yeah, I mean, I've owned a lot of companies. I've sold some. Some have failed and never made it past a year. But this company or this business and structure is by far the easiest business to run. It's mm-hmm. honestly finding the right people in regards to people that are energetic, have good attitude, good perspective. And they're kind of more the people that like to host, because that's all we are. We're a host to our customers, to big corporate events and big social parties or welcome parties for weddings. So hiring is honestly very easy. It's finding somebody that's personable and likable. Everything else can be trained. Mm-hmm. So like in the tap rooms, our general managers to a person that might only work once or twice a month, they do all the same jobs. So we have structured it that no matter who walks into the tap room and works for us, they're going to do everything. There's not one person in there that's better than anybody. If I go in there for some reason, you know, even if I'm with family or friends and I see something, I'll go wash dishes or pick up glassware. And that's just how I've created it from the top down. So mm-hmm. we look more for attitude and personality for hiring than we do experience, just because it's what we need in our industry and in the store level. My leadership team, obviously a little bit more experience is necessary. Finding people mm-hmm. that have been in the leadership roles and franchising is beneficial. So yeah. I've been fortunate yeah. enough to find some really good people. My marketing team is phenomenal. And just, you know, again, giving them ownership in their position to make mistakes is the quickest way that they learn and grow. Whereas I feel like if you micromanage them, they never make a mistake, or, you know, they're afraid to make a mistake. So they don't, and everything kind of stays stagnant. So that's the big difference.
It is a big difference. It's a huge difference. And that's what makes a company mm-hmm. successful, in my opinion. That's for sure. What are you thinking in an entrepreneur in today's world, getting out there and beginning to build a business? As I mentioned before we got on the show here, we have a lot of travel advisors that are listening nowadays. And you get started in that business or any business, what would you suggest they focus on? What would you suggest they spend their time doing as they're beginning to own a business and run a business?
Yeah, I've always said from many of the people that I mentor that you can sit there all day, read books. You can sit there all day and watch YouTube videos. You can sit there all day and try and learn from mentors. But if you don't put in the action, you're never really going to understand and learn, because the biggest thing is just going and doing it. You can spend 3 or 4 years trying to learn it and then never do anything. And then you get to a point where you're like, well, I can't do it now because this is life or this mm-hmm. may happen, yeah. or whatever it is. So I've always been a big component of just go do it. Action over everything. If you can just go do action, 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 fail, learn, pivot, you'll look back And you'll be like, damn, I did that all that in 3 years. And now I have a multi-million dollar company. And then, yeah, the other big thing is just having the right perspective and knowing that you're going to fail and not being afraid to fail. As I mentioned before, failure is your trampoline to success. If you're not failing, you're not growing. And if you're not, you know, if you're not failing, you're not learning. So the ability to fail and allow that to maybe take you a step backwards, but bounce off the trampoline 6 steps forward because of everything you learned, and you could pivot and take your company to a different direction, is so important. So I always say, you know, don't fear failure, actually embrace it. It's not failing, it's learning. And then action over everything. You got to just go do it. That's one way that you're going to be successful and learn.
Failure is your trampoline to success. I will steal that, Rich. I want you to know. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that somewhere along the line. I mean, that's too good to leave on the table. Oh man, that's really cool. Yes. But you know,
everybody puts it in their memory book.
There you go. But you know, you're absolutely right. It's getting out there and doing it. If you sit around and wait for all the traffic lights to turn green before you leave on your road trip, you're never going to get anywhere. You got to get out there and try and do it and see what happens and give it a shot. I had no idea whether or not a podcast was going to be a good thing or not when I started this one 230 some odd episodes ago. And it's helped me build two businesses. So, hey, you just got to get there, give it a shot and give it a try. You know, as long as you're doing things legally and morally right, it's going to be a fun thing to do. And you know when you're treating people right and when you're not. Come on. So treat people right, build the relationships, and it's amazing what you can get out of this thing. You know, I've heard of franchises my whole life, Rich, and I've got to ask, how does that actually work? I mean, I've heard about it, but I know it's I don't know. That's a falsehood. I don't know. How does it work?
Yeah. So surprisingly, there's most of the businesses that you walk into are franchises, and people just don't know them because they're such big brands. So franchising on the franchisor level, there's a ton of legalities and legal steps that got to go in from day one before you can even franchise or even market your company to be a franchise. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of legalities and a lot of things that go into creating a FTD, a franchise disclosure agreement, and your documents for all that, creating what cities or what states you want to be in, because some of them are registration states. So there's additional paperwork and additional legalities that go into that. So on the franchisor level, it's a ton of legalities. And then structuring your business, right? We all think our business has a good foundation and the policies and procedures are in place. But when you really got to take it and put it all on paper, the things that you just do naturally day to day, it's an undertaking. So on the franchisor side, if you want to franchise your business, it's a ton, right? I always tell people that want to franchise their business to talk to people like me that have been through it, or other franchisors or consultants that can help you throughout the way before you get to the point where you're going to spend the money to actually create the FDD. On the franchisee side, there's so many businesses that can be, you know, that are opportunities for somebody who wants to leave corporate America or add to their portfolio, or a multi-unit franchisee that's already doing it and they have a team and they want to add more to their portfolio. And it's multiple ways to do it. You can do it yourself, do your own research. You can work with a consultant that is no cost to you. It's kind of like a real estate agent. It's a franchise consultant, and they'll help guide you. They'll present different franchises to you that they think are a good fit based off of what you've said, your financial portfolio. So it's a pretty cool process when you go through that. You know, we're on the sales side, so we're speaking to a lot of potential candidates that we hope they're a good fit for us, but they might not be a good fit for us, or vice versa. They might think we're not a good fit for them. Yeah. And the goal in the franchising world is just making sure that the candidates have the best fit for them, what their goals are. And that, by far, for me, I've always talked to candidates and let them know, you know, if we're not the right fit, you know, let us know how we can help you and maybe introduce you to another brand that is. So the process is pretty simple, again, if you just go do it and take action. But it's a long-term goal when you're talking about leaving corporate America or starting your first company and jumping into a franchise that could cost you, you know, $30,000, $40,000 to get into, or $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars to get into. Mm-hmm. Overall, the goal is that, you know, we're creating opportunities and we have a brand, we have the marketing, we have the systems and processes in place. A lot of the headaches that if you were to start your own company from ground zero, mm-hmm. that you don't have to learn. You have that behind you. You have a team, you have support, you have the ability to talk to leadership on the franchise or level. For me, they can talk to me or anybody on my leadership team. So really cool process. It's something that I've learned over the last 3 years myself. And it's been really cool to understand how the franchising world works and understanding how many companies out there are actually franchises.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. I mean, fast food places are franchises, right?
Almost every single one of them.
Yeah. Hotels, I bet. I just remembered as I'm sitting here talking about it, we go to Marriott properties, but it's a Marriott property that's owned and operated by XYZ Enterprises in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yep.
You know, it's not owned and operated by Marriott, but I guess there are, as you say, standards and procedures that the franchisee has to meet in order to maintain that franchise, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So RFDD, it lines everything out, describes everything on what you can do, what you can't do. If you breach any of the rules, what we're allowed to do. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, mm-hmm. but basically you're buying into the business because one, you love the business, the culture, the leadership, but two, you're buying into it because of the structure and mm-hmm. the policy, the procedures and the success of it, the validation that the business is actually successful and going to work in your city.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that. I mean, you buy however many millions of dollars it costs to own a McDonald's franchise. I'm sure you couldn't make the golden arches purple. They're just not going to let you do that, right?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but you can try and open up your own fast food joint right next to a McDonald's and compete with them and not have all the structure and all the things that they provide and the marketing and the name and the brand behind it. So that's the big thing. We've seen after we opened here in Charlotte, we see a lot of other individuals try and do the same exact thing, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And pretty much all of them have closed over the last few years because it's more than just putting self-serve taps on a wall.
Yeah. You still got to run a company. You still got to have great teams of employees that are going to want to build according to your culture and do the right things for the folks that walk in the door. Rich, if somebody wants to get a hold of you or contact you about a franchise or just to chat, how do we get a hold of you?
Yeah. Anybody that's listened to the podcast all the way through and is hearing this, feel free to reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. You can also email me at rich@hoppinbrands.com. And mentorship, if you want to learn about franchising, if you want to learn more about Hoppin and what we're doing, happy to chat with anybody. But you know, my line's open. Love to mentor and give advice to individuals across the country and people locally, just because I've always said, you know, the more you give, the more you get back. You know, the goal is just not to expect it.
So it's Rich, R-I-C-H, at Hoppin, H-O-P-P-I-N, brands, all one word, .com, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, super, outstanding. Well, you guys out there have a great week. And if you have an idea about running a business, maybe a franchise is for you. You might want to check it out. Email Rich and start a conversation. You never know what might come from there. It's all about relationships. So go build some good relationships this week. Have a great time. Rich, thanks for being here, man. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Y'all have a great week. Enjoy. I'll see you again next time. This is Morris Sims. Take care. Have a great day.